Fontes, podcast di cultura pagana del Giorno Pagano Europeo della Memoria. Hello everybody, I am Manuela Simeoni and I welcome you to this new episode of Fontes, Radio GPM's podcast about pagan culture. In this episode we are going to talk about the hymns of pagan cultures. Obviously, I won't get through the whole matter of hymns in ancient paganisms. There are many books that deal with the matter and I couldn't even think to resume it in this few minutes, nor I can give the deserved attention to all pagan cultures. Indeed, as I often do during Fontes episodes, I will only underline some interesting features and I invite you to go deeper inside the matter if you find it interesting. But what did the word hymn mean according to the ancient ones? And from a pagan point of view, what did they express through the hymns? These are two questions to which we'll try to answer during this episode. At the beginning, the Greek word hymnos didn't mean a praise to the gods, but a praise both to a god or goddess or to a man. With this meaning, the word is used in some Greek tragedies. Only later, during the times that followed the reign of Alexander the Great, some Greek authors tried to put the idea of a hymn in a theoretical frame, but in this point of the time a lot of hymns had been already composed, from the Homeric hymns to the hymns by Callimachus, who lived just after Alexander's death. During this period of time several hymns are born: lyric poems, the odes by Pindar, dialogues by Plato, yes, just that Plato, who later will be pointed out as the model for prose hymns by the rhetor Menander, who lived during Diocletian's reign, it's between the 3rd and the 4th century of current era, and who shouldn't be mistaken with the playwright Menander, who instead lived between the 4th and the 3rd century before current era. This rhetor Menander left us a classification of hymns based on their aim or content. He divides the hymns in... Don't worry, I won't use Greek names of classes. He divides the hymns in hymns who talk about the relations between men and gods, hymns that relate the gods to natural elements, hymns that tell a mythological tale, hymns that listed the genealogy of one or more deities, fiction hymns telling about invented myths or deities, deprecation hymns, and prayer hymns. Plus, Menander said that the poetry hymn was much more better than the prose hymn, because poetry was a form of participation to the divine, and has more liberty of arrangement than the prose. According to Menander, the prose is totally human, so even though the prose hymn has its own value, the prose isn't so much participating to the divine. But one thing that is good in paganism is that there are different opinions about the same thing. About the hymn, Aelius Aristides, who wrote his sacred tales before the rhetor Menander, believed in the superiority of the prose just because it's a human thing. According to Aristides, the prose was the man's most ancient and natural expression, so it will allow us to develop a more spontaneous relation with the gods. When we talk about the pagan religion, we must always remember that during the ancient times, the religion, or the relation with the gods if you prefer, wasn't separated from everyday life. So, the hymns were not different from other writing occasions. Sometimes the hymns were composed for a specific rite or public occasion that was civil and religious at the same time. In fact, only after the arrival of the monotheism we must separate the two. Sometimes the hymns were just literature or composed for other aims, like the hymns we can read in Plato's Symposium and Phaedrus. This is the reason why everyone could choose between prose and poetry according to what fit better his aims. We can also see in Menander's categories of hymns that they aren't simply a praise to the gods, but we are going to talk about this when we'll come back to the Homeric hymns. Apart from what Aelius Aristides says, poetry was certainly the first form in which the hymns were born. Probably this is the reason why Walter Otto identifies the poet and not the prose writer as he who creates the myth and the cult from the apparition of the gods. In Christian times too, starting from the Middle Ages with Boccaccio and continuing during the Renaissance and the 17th century, the poet, even a pagan poet, was considered also a theologian. But according to the Christians, it's only because there are some spiritual truths, that are Christian truths, that can be expressed also by non-Christian poets. In the ancient Greek culture, the poet was some kind of theologian too, but just because he gave shape to the myth. Even though sometimes poets were considered inspired by or in touch with a god or goddess, this doesn't mean that their word was considered a dogma. In fact, Epicurus points the finger at the poets because their fictions would have caused people to fear of the afterlife. The value of the poetry hymn and of the poet himself was important also in other pagan cultures, which didn't left us much written testimonies of their pagan age. I think about the Celtic and the Germanic ones. We know that people telling the tales of the gods had great importance within these cultures. Let's just think to Odin, who was also the god of poetry and who conquered the runes by sacrificing his eye and hanging from the world tree for 9 days, in order to get also the knowledge to be passed down through the runes. Even though we don't have writings dated to the pagan age, we can nevertheless suppose that the hymn to the gods, or the invocation, or the genealogy, or the mythological tale, must be important for them too. Now, let's go back to the Greek and Latin culture, for which we have more sources. It's the Greek word that influenced the Latin one on the use of hymns. In fact, before Rome got deeply in touch with the Greeks, there are just a few Latin hymns. The Carmina, sung by the Sali and by the Arvales. There are all hymns related to celebrations, that is, to actions. Do you remember? We talked other times about the main difference between the Greek culture and the Latin one before they emerged. The Greek language is rich in nouns. In Greece, the philosophy was born. Greek culture described things as they are seen, while the Latin language is rich in verbs. The Latin culture preferred to focus on actions and describes things by the actions they do. This is particularly evident in the high number of archaic Roman deities related to the growth of children. A goddess for childbirth with head out first, a goddess for podalic childbirth, a goddess for the first steps, and so on. Only with the merging of these two cultures, the hymn became a popular literary genre in Rome. Famous writers like Catullus and Horace wrote hymns, but in a literary way, as personal composition, and no more as poems for rites. We must say that we don't know whether the Homeric hymns themselves were related to precise celebrations or were just literature, tales to be listened to. But this is a distinction that is more interesting for literature or mythology scholars rather than for modern pagans. Because, as I said just before, the relation with the gods was a part of everyday life, and we know that every pagan culture, as well as each pagan person, has its own worldview, and so its own way to conceive the relations with the gods. This is what we too, as pagan people, have to do. So we can't take as a dogma their words, if they don't agree with our sensibility and worldview. Otherwise, we should believe the gods to be a bunch of rapists, because so Ovid says. That's nonsense. The Homeric hymns are in turn different from the Orphic hymns, the other great collection of hymns of the Greek world. The basic difference is that the Homeric hymns tell a tale, while the Orphic ones list attributes and epithets of the gods. In some places, these two collections has been mixed. In fact, there are just a few manuscripts that report these collections, and always together, so sometimes there has been a bit of confusion between the two. Last April, we talked about the Homeric hymn to Ares, that lists the attributes of the god and interprets the god in a Platonic and or Neoplatonic manner, rather than in the Homeric way. All other Homeric hymns prefer to tell an episode, more frequently the birth of the god or goddess, with all the related themes, the happiness of parents, the admiration of everyone, the quick growth of the baby god, and so on. In other hymns, deeds are told, sanctuaries described, abilities and feature list. The hymns by Callimachus, written in the 3rd century before current era, are different because they are some kind of personal hymns. I mean works by an author like those by Catullus and Horace, and not collective works like the Homeric or Orphic hymns, and composed as literature, and not for a particular occasion. While the hymn to Pan by Pindar was probably an occasional hymn. Anyway, the musicality of an ancient hymn can still strike the sensibility of a modern pagan. So I would like to end this episode about ancient hymns with a list of collection you could want to look for and read, to find the ones that are closer to your idea of paganism. If you want to, we can talk about them on the blog. That is paganmemoryday.blogspot.com or via email at info@giornopaganomemoria.it. Some of these collections are difficult to find because they turn to a public of scholar, so you could have to look for them in libraries or specialized libraries. First of all, you could look for the Homeric hymns and the Orphic hymns. A complete collection of Greek hymns has been recently edited by William Furley, F-U-R-L-E-Y, who also translated them in English. In a collection of fragments by Pindar, you'll be able to find the hymn to Pan, while the hymns by Callimachus are easier to find. For what concerns the Latin hymns, there are many fragments. In Italia, there's the collection Roman Religious Poetry, edited by Giovan Battista Pighi, but I don't know if it has been translated in English or if there is an equivalent in English, gathering the poems from the Carmina Salaria to the poems composed during the Empire. Well, for the moment, that's all. See you on the next episode of Fontes. If you have suggestions, questions, want to get in touch with us, you can do it at the address of the radio, that is radiogpm@giornopaganomemoria.it. See you on the next episode of Fontes.